Part 1. God and Man. Chapter 1. Children of a Greater God. In the beginning, humanity's connection to God was both a profound reality and a reflection of God's ultimate intent for us. Adam and Eve's existence was defined by a direct relationship with their Creator, a personal and deeply intimate communion. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 tells us that they walked and talked with God in the cool of the day, an image that paints a picture of perfect harmony and closeness. They were not merely created beings, they were God's children, formed in His image and His likeness, and imbued with His Spirit, designed to reflect His nature and live in continuous fellowship with Him. This was God's original design. The connection they shared with God was not just a benefit of their existence, it was the very essence of who they were. Their identity as individuals and as a couple was inseparable from the Creator who lovingly formed them. Their purpose, to tend to the earth, multiply, and extend the community of God, was an extension of this intimate relationship. But when sin entered the picture, everything changed. Sin, at its core, isn't merely about breaking rules, it's about breaking relationship. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they rejected their dependence on Him and chose another path to define good and evil for themselves. This was an act of defiance that severed their unique spiritual connection with God. The consequences were immediate and devastating. Before their sin, they'd been naked and unashamed, but fully known and fully loved in the presence of their Creator. Afterwards, they were overwhelmed by shame, hiding from God and covering themselves with fig leaves. This act of hiding was symbolic of their new reality, separation from the God who had been their source of identity, security, and purpose. It wasn't just a physical exile from Eden, it was a spiritual fracture that rippled through every aspect of their being. They were no longer whole. Their communion with God was broken, and this brokenness introduced fear, disgrace, guilt, and suffering into the human experience. Their relationship with each other was also affected as blame and mistrust entered their dynamic. The once perfect unity they had shared with God and with each other was shattered, but even in their sin, they were still fully known and fully loved by Him. In this moment of devastation, God's redemptive plan for them and humanity to follow was already unfolding. While sin brought about separation, it did not extinguish God's love or His intent to restore the connection that had been lost. In Genesis 3:15, sometimes referred to as the Proto-Evangelium or the First Gospel, God promised that Eve's offspring would crush the head of the serpent, foreshadowing the coming of Christ who would ultimately defeat sin and death. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the seeds of God's redemptive plan woven into the narrative of His people. Although the direct connection between humanity and God had been disrupted, God never stopped pursuing His creation. He established covenants with individuals like Noah and Abraham and Moses, creating ways for His people to draw near to Him, even in their fallen, sinful state. The tabernacle and later the temple served as physical representations of God's presence among His people, tangible reminders of His willingness to dwell with them despite their sin. Yet Israel's covenants with God were predicated on works and rituals, laws and sacrifices that they repeatedly proved incapable of fully keeping. The sacrificial system, while providing a temporary means of atonement for sin, it highlighted their inability to achieve righteousness on their own and ultimately pointed toward the perfect and final sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of their rebellion and failure to uphold their covenant, God's love remained steadfast and His plan for restoration continued to unfold. Through the prophets, He persistently reminded Israel of His desire for relationship, calling them to return to Him with their whole hearts, promising restoration and hope to those who would seek Him. The death of Christ on the cross marked the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan. Jesus paid the price for all men and restored what had been lost. He bridged the gap that sin had created and made it possible for those who will to have a direct, personal relationship with God again. This is the essence of the new covenant, a covenant not based on external rituals or sacrifices that we perform, but on what Christ did for us and the transformative work of the Holy Spirit operating within us. Whereas the old covenant required priests to serve as intermediaries between God and his people, the new covenant allows every believer to approach God directly. As Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22 beautifully explain, we can now draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, testifying to our identity as children of God and enabling us to live in communion with him. See Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. But even with the restoration of this divine connection, humanity still grapples with the effects of sin. The spiritual, emotional, and relational consequences of separation from God are deeply ingrained in our fallen nature. Many believers continue to feel distant from God, burdened by guilt, shame, or the weight of religious expectations. The question is, why? And we'll begin to answer that in the next chapter. For now, the good news is that the longing for connection with God that you have is evidence of his Spirit at work within you. As Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 reminds us, God has set eternity in the human heart. This innate desire for something beyond yourself points back to the Creator who made you for relationship with him. Living in alignment with God's original design requires you to recognize and embrace the counterintuitive truth that you are not made whole through your own efforts, but through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit at work within you. This means surrendering your brokenness to him and allowing his love to heal, restore, and mature you. It's a matter of trust. It also means seeking him not out of obligation, but out of a genuine desire to know and be known by him. The invitation is clear. As a believer, God is calling you back into the perfect community he intended from the beginning. Through Jesus, the way has been made, and through the Holy Spirit, you are empowered. The question is, will you respond? Will you allow him to restore the connection that sin disrupted and lead you into the abundant life that he created you to live? God's intent has always been to dwell with his people, to walk and talk with us, just as he did with Adam and Eve before the fall. This is the heart of the gospel. Not just salvation from sin, but restoration to relationship. It is a call to return to your true spiritual identity as his child, to live in the fullness of his love, and to extend that love to others. As children of God, we're no longer distant observers on the outside looking in, hoping for access to his presence. Through Christ, we've been invited into a direct, intimate relationship with him, able to experience his love, hear his voice, and be led by his Spirit. Under the new covenant, we are offered a life of freedom and closeness, a relationship with God that allows us to discover and explore our spiritual identity and live out his purpose for us without the weight of guilt or religious dogma that so many of us have been exposed to. This relationship represents a new and different kind of engagement, not one based on rules and rituals, but on the Spirit of God abiding within. Christ's purpose wasn't just to save us, but to restore a vibrant, living connection between humanity and God. He opened a path to a relationship built on love, grace, and spiritual intimacy, one that empowers us to walk in step with him every day. If nothing else, it is very important that you understand salvation is the beginning of your divine journey, not the end goal or reward for any achievement on your part. From that point, once you've accepted salvation and have been saved, it is the Holy Spirit who molds you into who you were created to be and shapes you towards perfection. You're on the potter's wheel, as it were, in the master's hands. Your spiritual growth is not about striving to become a better person. It's about surrendering to the transformation process that the Spirit desires to work within you. And it is a process. The journey back to God's original design is not without challenges, but it is one of unparalleled joy, peace, and purpose. When you step into a properly restored relationship with God, the process of becoming who and what you were meant to be, a reflection of His glory, a vessel of His grace, and an empowered son or daughter of God, that is when the process begins. That is how you achieve the fullness of who you were created to be.